WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Find out what's going on in the world, the state, and in your own backyard. This is a Civic Media Network News Update.
It's 5 o'clock. Good afternoon. I'm Nate Wuggehow, and here's what Wisconsin needs to know. An armed man demanding to see Governor Evers twice on Wednesday is in what's called protective custody in a Madison hospital. The Department of Administration says the shirtless man arrived at the Capitol Information Desk with a handgun at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, demanding to see Evers. He was arrested, posted bail, and came back to the Capitol Square with a rifle at 9 o'clock at night. Today, Governor Evers applauded the work of the Capitol Police.
The Capitol Police took control of the situation, and so it's over. But yeah, it's always something that is things you don't want to see happen.
Governor Evers was not in the building either time. The case appears to be the latest in a series of violent threats against public officials nationwide. Opinions about state government funding for American Family Field are being aired at a public hearing in suburban Milwaukee. Terry Bell reports.
The bill would take $400 million from the state through taxes on baseball players' salaries. Milwaukee and Milwaukee County would chip in $200 million, and another $100 million would come from the Brewers. The team would agree to stay in Milwaukee for another 27 years. The bill would also winterize American Family Field to host events year-round. There's disagreement over how much professional sports benefits a city or a state economically, and over how much taxpayers should have to pay to support them. Terry Bell, Civic Media News.
The U.S. Ag Department is announcing $23 million in awards to support dairy farmers and businesses in the Midwest. Brian Winnikins reports from the World Dairy Expo in Madison.
$7 million of that $23 million has been allocated to Wisconsin. Jenny Lester Moffitt, USDA Undersecretary for Marketing and Regulatory Programs, made the announcement at World Dairy Expo.
Combined for the Midwest will total be about $40 million since 2019 that we've invested here in Midwest production for dairy innovation.
The initiatives support small and mid-sized dairy businesses in the development, production, marketing, and distribution of dairy products. From World Dairy Expo, I'm Brian Winnikins.
Senator Tammy Baldwin has nearly $7 million in the bank for her re-election bid. The Democratic incumbent reports raising $3.1 million in the most recent three-month fundraising period. The Republicans running against her so far are Western Wisconsin financial advisor Stacy Klein and UW-Stevens Point student Rajani Ravindran. Other Republicans who might run are Madison businessman Eric Hovde or former Milwaukee County Sheriff David Clark. And that's what Wisconsin needs to know. I am Nate Wuggehow, and this is Civic Media News.
For the Talk of Green Bay News, I'm Pete Schwaba. Here's what you need to know.
A man is in custody after carjacking a woman and her 4-year-old daughter. Grand Chute police say the 31-year-old woman and her child were in a parking lot in the 4300 block of West Wisconsin around 7:30 p.m. on October 2nd. They were threatened by a 51-year-old man with a knife. The man kidnapped them and drove to various banks, forcing the mother to withdraw money. The woman and her daughter were able to escape in Nina and went to the police. The suspect was taken into custody after a coordinated effort by area police officials. The woman and her daughter were treated for non-life-threatening injuries. The man who created the G logo on Packer helmets has died. John Gordon designed the iconic G while he was an art student at St. Norbert College in the early 60s. He was asked to design a logo that resembled a football by a St. Norbert equipment manager. He passed away Saturday at the age of 83 after struggling with Alzheimer's.
Pete Schwaba, WGBW 97.9 News.
The Packers back at practice. Good afternoon, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers getting ready for a road trip to Las Vegas to face the Raiders on Monday Night Football. Green Bay is 2-2. The Raiders, desperate for a home win, are 1-3. The Packers coming off that horrible 34-20 loss to the Lions. What did Matt LaFleur tell his young wide receivers, quarterback Jordan Love, a short time ago?
You know, I think Matt challenged us, you know, after last game, you know, going through the break, just, you know, continue to watch the past couple games and challenge everybody to think of one thing that, you know, we're going to work on going forward and just kind of our focus into that going forward. So just things we're thinking about when we're out there at practice, going into the game, just focusing on things we can get better at.
Tonight on Thursday Night Football, it's the winless Chicago Bears in Washington to face the 2-2 Commanders. College football, the Badgers host Rutgers Saturday at 11:30 a.m. It's the start of a rough schedule that includes playing Iowa, Illinois, and Ohio State. Head coach Luke Fickell.
You know, we've got a stretch here. Nobody wants to talk about the stretch, right? We want to talk about, you know, what's coming up on Saturday, but this is the time, this is the stretch that we've got to make sure we're moving forward and doing the things that are going to give us a chance to be successful, not just this weekend, but continue to push forward for the next 8 weeks.
Baseball, a tough day in the Brewers clubhouse after last night's season-ending loss to the Diamondbacks. Manager Craig Counsell.
Look, we're disappointed. I mean, these chances are sacred. They're for players that you get this window to have a great month of October, and so it hurts for it to be over.
Some players know that was probably their last game as a Brewer, including Brandon Woodruff and pitcher Corbin Burns.
Just feel bad for all these guys that worked their butt off for all season, and not even this season for the years just to get to this point. You know, this is a team that's a lot of good young players that will have a chance to do this again, hopefully year after year. But you know, it just feels like you let the team down a little bit when you have an opportunity to step up and set the tone.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, Hour 2. That makes it the happier, happy hour. Now I'm rolling into it. You can always be a part. 844-967-2789. We don't have to give way for Brewers baseball tonight, Tom.
No, I don't worry about that for a while.
The Bucks preseason starting this weekend. Check your local listings. Civic Media providing Bucks coverage in 6 new Wisconsin media markets all across the state. But, Tom, we do the politics mostly. And I got to tell you, I think, I don't know, but I think former Trump appointees could save us from Donald Trump. Maybe. But it's got to be someone substantial. Let's say the generals. Could the former Trump generals tell us the truth and save us from another Trump term, Dom? I sure do hope so. That's where I want to start. Max Boot over at the Washington Post. I know you've got some coverage as well, but I want to start here. Trump's generals need to warn voters that he is unfit to serve. Max Boot, former conservative columnist. They no longer call anyone conservative over at the Post. 3 years ago, Atlantic editor-in-chief Jeffrey Goldberg wrote that President Donald Trump had referred to soldiers killed in battle as suckers and losers. Trump immediately called it fake story and said it was a disgrace that the magazine was allowed to publish it. This week, John Kelly, Trump's longest-serving White House chief of staff, confirmed the accuracy of the article, as well as that of a book by Peter Baker and Susan Glasser that quoted Trump complaining that being in the presence of military amputees doesn't look good for me. In a statement released to CNN, Kelly, a retired Marine general who lost his own son in combat in Afghanistan, not only wrote of Trump's disdain for wounded and fallen veterans, but also described Trump as a person that has no idea what America stands for and has no idea what America is all about. A person that has nothing but contempt for our democratic institutions, our Constitution, and the rule of law. Kelly concluded, there is nothing more that can be said. God help us. A little bit more here, Dom. I'm glad Kelly, according to Max Boot, has finally spoken out publicly. But I respectfully disagree with his final point. with Trump leading the Republican primary field by a large margin, there's a lot more that needs to be said. And Kelly is one of the people who needs to say it. He needs to speak out in a much more public and sustained way about the unique threat that Trump poses to American democracy. And he needs to be joined in doing so by two other retired generals who also served in the upper echelons of the Trump administration. Former Defense Secretary Jim Mattis, the mad dog, right, Tom? And former National Security Advisor H.R. McMaster. All three men, who are often referred to as Trump's generals, or the adults in the room, have made it clear that they hold Trump in well-justified disdain, as do I.
Cody Mad Dog Mattis announced his resignation as Defense Secretary in 2018 by releasing a letter that noted Trump did not share his views about treating allies with respect and was not clear-eyed about both malign actors and strategic competitors, a reference presumably to Trump's well-known affinity for dictators Vladimir Putin and Kim Jong-un.
I don't know why he would, though.
In June of 2020, at the height of the protests over the murder of George Floyd, Trump marched through Washington's Lafayette Square, which had been cleared of peaceful protesters, for a bizarre photo op with General Mark Milley, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. Mattis subsequently issued a statement in which he wrote, quote, "Donald Trump is the first president in my lifetime who does not try to unite the American people, does not even pretend to try. Instead, he tries to divide us. We must reject and hold accountable those in office who would make a mockery of our Constitution." Max Boot writes, "McMaster has been a bit more circumstance, but he has condemned Trump for aiding and abetting Putin's efforts to undermine U.S. democracy and for telling the Proud Boy militia to stand back and stand by. No leader," McMaster said, "should encourage any group that is based on a narrow identity that aims to supersede our identity as Americans. The danger Trump poses to our democracy might not matter to his cult followers. For many of them, it's a selling point. But it's a different matter when it comes to general election voters who remain up for grabs. With Trump and President Biden essentially tied in head-to-head matchups, the Wall Street Journal's polling shows that 26% of the electorate remains undecided between the two candidates, hard as that might be to believe." It is very difficult to believe, Max.
Undecided voters. Can't trust them, Dom.
"It is those voters who will determine the fate of American democracy, and many of them don't follow the news closely. Almost none of them, I'm sure, have heard of Kelly's latest statement denouncing Trump. Kelly, Mattis, and McMaster, joined ideally by other disaffected Trump appointees, such as former National Security Advisor John Bolton, former Defense Secretary Mark Esper, and former Attorney General Bill Barr, need to mount an unfit to serve tour targeting early primary states and general election swing states. They need to spend every free minute over the next year alerting undecided voters to the danger of electing Trump again before it's too late. It would be unprecedented for such high-level appointees to warn that the president they served poses a danger to U.S. democracy. Kelly, Mattis, and McMaster, all as generals who have devoted their lives to serving the country, have particular standing to make the case in a way that might make apathetic voters take notice. Simply issuing written statements is not enough. They need to go on TV and on the stump to get the message out. It's pretty clear in the focus groups that when swing voters backslide towards Trump, it's because they're hazy on what they hate about him and are frustrated about the economy," Sarah Longwell, an anti-Trump Republican strategist, told me. "A stark reminder from respected generals can remind swing voters why their hesitation about Trump, why their hesitation about Biden pale in comparison to their fears of putting Trump back in the White House."
Dominic, I get night sweats.
"Knowing Kelly, Mattis, and McMaster as I do," Max Boot writes, "I am sure all three of them will resist this advice for a variety of reasons, the most important being that they have been inoculated with the ethos that military must remain absolutely, resolutely apolitical. This is a noble impulse, but they served Trump in a political, not military, post, even if McMaster remained on active duty. They're in a different category from the two chairmen of Joint Chiefs of Staff during the Trump administration, Dunford and Milley, who plainly share the trio's concerns about Trump's unfitness to serve. It would indeed be inappropriate for Dunford or Milley to campaign against Trump, but it would not be would not only be appropriate for Kelly, Mattis, and McMaster to do so, it is imperative that they do so. This would be one last duty they could perform for the country they love to save us from a candidate who Milley, in his retirement ceremony last month, rightly referred to as a wannabe dictator. Wannabe dictator. Max Boot writing in the Washington Post.
If he were only a little better at it, he probably could have succeeded and may still try again, Dom. And that's the concern, right? I only half joke. You know, I do feel a sense of angst that a Trump presidency would bring back a chaos that this nation lived through for 4 years, man. Oh, can't it would say be, they were great worse. Days.
I get that. And, you know, there's legitimate concern. And I agree with Boot in that regard. You know, these are folks that were there. They know. I mean, they were the adults in the room. Certainly they should speak up. You know, they serve their country. You think this would be something important to them. And I totally agree. Something to be said about, you know, issuing a written statement versus getting up, you know, in front of the room and saying the things and asking and taking questions and reiterating over and over and over. Tell them once, tell them twice, tell them three times. I mean, I don't know on which category.
Go on Fox News, go on 60 Minutes, go on everything.
Everywhere. And everybody who was involved in any way, shape, or form should. I mean, this guy is a rapist. This guy is a fraudster. This guy tried to overthrow the government, man. I mean, let alone the policy, you know, bungles he had, you know, the family separation stuff, right? This man is not worthy. This man is dangerous. And there is literally zero redeeming qualities about this guy. I mean, he ran through peaceful protesters with, I think it was Milley they mentioned, to hold up a Bible upside down in front of the burned out church that didn't want him there in the first place. Who does that, man? I mean, this is a man out of control. And thankfully, he's starting to get his comeuppance. But I just really don't understand these Republicans and why they think for some reason, somehow, some way, that Donald Trump is the guy to lead them in 2024. Based on what?
Well, Dominic, I would point out to you, and I don't say this with any glee, but the rapist part and the fraudster part. I mean, if those are the character flaws that Republicans are going to hold against Donald Trump, why didn't they hold it against Donald Trump in 2016? We've known this since the Access Hollywood thing. Guy confessed to Billy Bush. You know, if you're a star, they just let you do it. You tic-tac up, and then you take him furniture shopping. They knew this about Trump. Paul Ryan disinvited Trump from the first CD here in the state of Wisconsin. The Fall Fest, right? That was the big slap on the wrist for the Access Hollywood faux pas. But when Trump got elected, Paul Ryan, now the lesser seen former speaker, well, he just merged their agendas, Tom. They were all okay with those characteristics in the man when they voted for him the first time and the second time.
Well, it's one thing.
Those are not the things that are going to prevent the electorate.
I understand that, man, but I would make a distinction. It's one thing about the bluster of, you know, a guy talking to another guy about his exploits of sexual assault. It's an entirely different thing to be convicted in a court of law or of being liable for rape. You know what I'm saying? I think it's a different thing. So some folks who may have initially rejected that, maybe might come around and say, wow, he really did that. And you know, and that case isn't done. E. Jean Carroll gets another crack at it because Trump won't keep his mouth shut. And he keeps on saying incorrect, illegal, wrong things about her, slandering her. She's going to get more money from the guy, from her abuser, who's been now, what, convicted of it. So it's a little different than talking trash on a bus.
Well, first and foremost, I suspect he hadn't paid a nickel yet. That's why it's on appeal. And second of all, the second defamation suit from E. Jean Carroll against Trump, effectively for repeating the same lie that he never sexually assaulted her. But again, that ain't enough. You sent me a little something from the ABC News, Dom. What about swapping state secrets? Just telling people just because you can. Would that undermine the, you know, the future presidency of Donald Trump? Perhaps. Come back. We'll tell you about it.
Test your home for radon. Radon causes lung cancer, and half the homes in Green Bay test high. Request a free tester at newradon.com. newradon.com. Get a free test kit now.
It's the most competitive sport for all to enjoy, and Milwaukee is even the capital for it. It's bowling, and the oldest bowling alley is in Wisconsin. Holler House is home to the two oldest sanction lanes in the U.S. and are still made of the wood installed in 1908. The building on West Lincoln in Milwaukee looks the same. Musicians Joe Walsh and Jack White have thrown a ball down those 115-year-old lanes. Now, can you guess the tradition that continues here to this day? A hot beef sandwich, just 25 cents. The pin still set by people? Swear, and you're tossed out. The answer coming up. The fifth and sixth generations run Holler House, so some odd history does remain, like bras hanging from the rafters. The alleys have even been featured in the Wall Street Journal and Sports Illustrated. So what's your guess about the continuing tradition? It's the pin still being set by people. No machines here. These stories make it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Pursuing the truth wherever it may lead. The Todd Albaugh Show.
Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3.
Join the conversation. Get involved. The Todd Albaugh Show on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Here's your updated forecast. Lows around 47 tonight under mainly clear skies. Winds out of the west, 8 to 15 miles an hour. Overcast skies tomorrow. Scattered thunderstorms likely. High temperatures reach up to 56. Cloudy tomorrow night. Chance for scattered rain showers. Lows around 41. Temperatures below average Saturday and Sunday with highs in the low 50s. Another look at the short range. Lows level off around 47 tonight. Highs reach 56 tomorrow. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 64.
Where the fans own the team. This is the talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
Think you know politics? Think again. Welcome to the Devil's Advocates. Who sailed to sea.
And welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Love it when you join us on the phones at 844-967-2789. You can also download the Civic Media app. It's super cool. You can just hit a button, it'll automatically call. Hit another button, it'll automatically text. Join the Devil's Advocates.
ABC News reporting, Dom. Donald Trump allegedly discussed U.S. nuclear subs with a foreign national after leaving the White House. Lots of talk of submarines and their ability to creep up next to, what, Russian subs? And how many warheads they carry, Dom? This guy can't keep his mouth shut, can he? I mean, I know. I am not a great keeper of secrets. Banned from answering the phone. But I never had the nuclear football, man. A little bit of this.
Would you rise to the presidency, Crudy? I mean, would you think it'd be a big deal? Do you think they would, you know, alter your behavior a bit, knowing the responsibility that you have in that office? I think you would, man. I think you would. Trump didn't, can't, won't.
I'm not clear that I would. I'm a small man in many ways, like Trump. You need a better man to be president. Better man than I. I love Barack Obama. He was a better man than I. Trump, less.
Less so, for sure.
ABC News, and we see you, Andrew from D-Town, man. Hang tight for just a bit and be like Andrew. Join us, 844-967-2789. A little of the coverage from the ABC News. Months after leaving the White House, former President Donald Trump allegedly discussed potentially sensitive information about U.S. nuclear subs with a member of his Mar-a-Lago club, an Australian billionaire. Well, they got that in common, question mark? An Australian billionaire who then allegedly shared the information with scores of others, including more than a dozen foreign officials, several of his own employees, and a handful of journalists, according to sources familiar with the matter. The potential disclosure was reported to Special Counsel Jack Smith's team, and they investigated Trump's alleged hoarding of classified documents at the Mar-a-Lago. The sources told ABC News the information could shed further light on Trump's handling of sensitive government secrets. The paperwork crimes, Dom? Well, you always ask me, because I always diminish these crimes relative to the more substantial crimes I think Trump will eventually be proven guilty of. But anyways, the paperwork crimes, the classified documents he was hoarding at the Mar-a-Lago. I always told you it'd be a bigger deal if he was disseminating that information. I just didn't know it'd be to random club members at the Mar-a-Lago.
Well, that's all we know now, dude. We don't know what we don't know.
Prosecutors and FBI agents have at least twice this year interviewed the Mar-a-Lago member, Anthony Pratt, who runs the U.S.-based Pratt Industries, one of the world's largest packaging companies. In those interviews, Pratt described how looking to make conversation with Trump during a meeting at Mar-a-Lago, April 2021, he brought up the American submarine fleet. Though you and I, we play Battleship and talk about the submarine fleet all the time, Tom. He brought up the American submarine fleet, which the two had discussed before, told the ABC News.
You know, this is like a follow-up conversation? What was said in the first conversation?
He's been interviewed a couple times. Jack Smith's team would know, Dom, but I can only go what the ABC News is reporting. According to Pratt's account, as described by these sources, Pratt told Trump he believed Australia should start buying its subs from the United States, to which an excited Trump, leaning towards Pratt, as if to be discreet, told Pratt two pieces of information about U.S. submarines, the supposed exact number of nuclear warheads they routinely carry, and exactly how close they supposedly can get to a Russian submarine without being detected. I suspect it's close. In emails and conversations after the meeting with Trump, Pratt described Trump's remarks to at least 45 others, including journalists, 11 of his company's employees, 10 Australian officials, and 3 former Australian prime ministers, the sources told ABC News.
What do you think he said, you know, when he was hanging out with Putin in Helsinki and they took the interpreter's notes? What do you think he was, like, relaying any of that kind of information then? I mean, if he's just willy-nilly to the local club members, you think his buddy, the guy he looks up to more than any, the guy he was going to give a condo to at Trump Moscow Tower, you think he might have, you know, spilled the beans a little bit for that guy?
I don't know why he would, though.
While Pratt told investigators he couldn't tell if what Trump said about U.S. submarines was real or just a bluster, investigators nevertheless asked Pratt not to repeat the numbers that Trump allegedly told him, suggesting the information could be too sensitive to relay further. ABC News was told it's unclear if the information was accurate, but the episode was investigated by Smith's team. Sources said another witness, one of Trump's former employees at Mar-a-Lago, told investigators that within minutes of Pratt's meeting with Trump, he heard Pratt relaying to someone else some of what Trump had just said. According to the sources, the former Mar-a-Lago employee also told investigators he was bothered and shocked to hear that the former president had provided such seemingly sensitive information to a non-U.S. citizen. Yeah, but he's a club member, man. Pratt told investigators Trump didn't show him any government documents during their meeting, nor at any other time they crossed paths. According to sources, Pratt insisted to investigators that he told others about his meeting with Trump to show them how he was advocating for Australia with the United States. Some of the Australian officials that sources said he told were, as reflected in news reports at the time, involved in then ongoing negotiations with the Biden administration over a deal for Australia to purchase a number of nuclear-powered attack submarines from the United States. The deal was ultimately secured earlier this year, with Australia agreeing to purchase at least 3 Virginia-class nuclear-powered submarines, though President Joe Biden has said that none of the submarines sold to Australia will be armed with nuclear weapons.
Well, they got to make their own, Dom. You know, we'll give you the way of delivering the nukes. And Trump will tell some rich guy from Australia just how close you can get to the Russian subs with that. This guy, sort of a loose cannon, Dom.
You think. But no, man, you know, hell, he's all about the troops, right? Except the amputees and the losers and the suckers, right? According to Kelly. He's all about the police, except the ones that stood in the way of his mob and he tried to overthrow the government, beat the hell out of, right? I mean, Trump is the biggest POS there could possibly be, Republicans. I don't understand it. Get out of the cult, you guys. This is ridiculous.
You know, I answer 2 phones, speak truthfully, and I'm banned for life? What does this guy deserve? Come back, more devils. Phone lines open for you, not me so much, or CJ, 844-967-2789.
From I-43 to I-41, this is the Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
ABC News, I'm Andy Field. The divide among House Republicans growing as moderates and hardline conservatives try to choose their next speaker. The new speaker vote expected next week. Steve Scalise and Jim Jordan among contenders. Jordan now indicating he might be open to additional funding for Ukraine.
If you can tell us what the goal is, how's the money being spent? How can we account for that? I think the American people are entitled to know the answer.
Today, Russia launched a rocket attack in eastern Ukraine. At least 51 people killed. The Pentagon says a military fighter jet shot down an armed Turkish drone over northeastern Syria where U.S. troops were on a mission. U.S. officials calling it regrettable but saying no troops were hurt. In San Francisco, a private memorial service underway for the late Senator Dianne Feinstein. The 90-year-old senator died last week following health issues. Vice President Kamala Harris and Nancy Pelosi among those attending the service. This is ABC News.
For the Talk of Green Bay News, I'm Pete Schwabe. Here's what you need to know.
The search on the Fox River for a 21-year-old Green Bay man who's been suspended by the Coast Guard. The search for Victor Torres Guadalupe started about 2 a.m. on Wednesday, but authorities decided they didn't have enough evidence showing he had entered the water. They are asking for the public's help in finding him. He is 5'10", about 155 pounds, has black hair and brown eyes. Anyone with helpful information should call the Green Bay Police Department. The man who created the G logo on Packer helmets has died. John Gordon designed the iconic G while he was an art student at St. Norbert College in the early 60s. He was asked to design a logo that resembled a football by a St. Norbert equipment manager. He passed away Saturday at the age of 83 after struggling with Alzheimer's. Tonight's Powerball jackpot is $1.2 billion. That's the third largest ever, and it'll go up slightly after I buy my ticket later. Good luck. Pete Schwabe, WGBW 97.9 News.
From the kennel to the coop, whatever the season, Fleet Farm has everything to keep your animals happy and healthy. From training your pup to sit season, to mastering those retrieval skills season. From clipping your horse for competition season, to keeping the backyard birds well-fed season. And of course, loving your pets like family season. There's a reason people say, if Fleet Farm doesn't have it, you don't need it. Because we have it all. Fleet Farm. Built for real life.
It's the most competitive sport for all to enjoy, and Milwaukee is even the capital for it. It's bowling, and the oldest bowling alley is in Wisconsin. Holler House is home to the two oldest sanctioned lanes in the U.S. and are still made of the wood installed in 1908. The building on West Lincoln in Milwaukee looks the same. Musicians Joe Walsh and Jack White have thrown a ball down those 115-year-old lanes. Now, can you guess the tradition that continues here to this day? A hot beef sandwich, just 25 cents. The pins still set by people. Swear and you're tossed out. The answer coming up. The fifth and sixth generations run Holler House, so some odd history does remain, like bras hanging from the rafters. The alleys have even been featured in the Wall Street Journal and Sports Illustrated. So what's your guess about the continuing tradition? It's the pins still being set by people. No machines here. These stories make it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. We are your hometown radio, refreshed. Your home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
I would have gotten away with it too if it wasn't for those meddling devil's advocates.
Little black submarines operate up, please.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Thursday edition, Friday Eve, rolling through the happier happy hour. Let me tell you, if you've never partied with the Devil's Advocates, a week from Tuesday, October 17th, will be your final opportunity, probably in the market this year, for a live party. Jade Monkey, Dom and Crute, we're going to be there. We're going to live broadcast, and we're, no promises, but party all night. I suspect there will be some nakedness involved on Dom's part. Someone was asking, Andrew, I believe, from Verona on the text line, is that why you guys do the, you know, the split screen thing? So Dom can do a little nakedness during the commercial breaks? 844-967-2789. Trump, apparently, former President Trump, spreading state secrets about U.S. submarines and their ability to, let's just say, sneak up on Russian subs and how many warheads they carry. And he's just spreading that around because, you know, someone might be making a deal. That's the art of the deal. You know, if you got to give away a few state secrets to grease the wheels with an Australian billionaire at the club so they know how to negotiate with the United States under the Biden administration.
I got to tell you,
it seems a little conflicty.
People are jumping all over this story. Again, breaking news from ABC News. Here's what George Conway said to everyone who has accused P01135809 of selling the nation's secrets should profusely apologize. Out of innate charity, he gives them away for free.
Literally telling state secrets just cause he knows some. And the guy he's telling them to is like the town Karen gossip here, right? This guy told everybody, this Australian billionaire. And you wonder, how many people did Trump tell before he told that guy?
Well, and all the other things that Trump has known, from our secrets, our crown jewels, as it were, it related to how many other folks? I mean, whether or not they're just club members or, you know, his lover out in North Korea or his boss at the Kremlin. Now, of course, these are serious questions, and let alone forget the $2 billion the Saudis gave Jared. You know, and of course, Trump says he can sell all his properties for whatever he wants for the Saudis. Well, they wouldn't do that for free. Nobody does anything for free. Donald Trump, you know this.
Well, some things are worth more than money, Dom. Like state secrets. 844-967-2789. Andrew from Detroit. Appreciate your patience, sir. Welcome. What do you got for us?
Hey, Andrew.
Hey guys. First, I want to preface my first comment. I don't necessarily trust the Secret Service, but anyone that does have Secret Service protection, I'm thinking of the generals, the former chiefs of staff, yes, they should do a national tour telling what they know. Now a warning? But anyway, they should do that. But anybody else, I mean, he gets on his troll social, whatever the hell it's called, and the things he says just threatens every. I mean, look at Tony Evers today. I mean, not that he threatened, but just the threat goes out against anyone who potentially is against Republicans or MAGAs. So I don't know. I understand why people don't want to come forward, but these generals and whatever, they do need to. And as they go state to state, maybe go to the blue states first or those leaning blue to try to convince the secretaries of state to not allow his name on the ballots. What he's done, he can't run for president. It's illegal. What the 14th Amendment, what 12th Amendment, Article 5, 12th Amendment, what that seditionists are not allowed to run for any office in the country. Dana Nessel, I guess, here in Michigan is working on that, but not fast enough for my pleasure. So,
yeah. Andrew, like we
and it has to be dealt with.
We greatly admire the Attorney General of the state of Michigan, because Dana Nessel is actively pursuing prosecution of the false electors there. No such luck here in the state of Wisconsin, Andrew, be it jurisdictional problems or be it, you know, failure to lead from the Department of Justice. We're just not seeing it here, Andrew. And I don't think we can prevent Trump from the ballot. I've seen the arguments, but I don't think we can keep him off barring a conviction. And I think the only one that would really, really matter, perhaps accepting the state of Georgia, I think if the Fulton County came down, you'd have a good case in Georgia. But if you want to keep him off the ballot everywhere, that's the January 6th trial that starts on March 5th, 2024. That's the Jack Smith trial. Andrew, that's the one that's worth all the marbles.
That's right. But if the blue states alone would keep him off the ballot in the primaries and the he can't get elected. He can't get elected. So even if Wisconsin can't because of gerrymandering, so you can't get districts that can actually vote the popular vote of the state, you know, at least the blue states could keep them off the ballots.
Andrew, my only fear, and I've seen that proposed, and our friend Mark often references the, I think it's the 14th Amendment, Section 3. My only fear with that is that could be a motivator for the Trump electorate as well. A, I'm not clear that it will be successful. There was a lawsuit against U.S. Senator Ron Johnson trying to keep him off the ballot. The Minocqua Brewery Super PAC guy was doing that. Wasn't successful. And no other efforts to keep, be it Madison Cawthorn, MTG, I think she used James Bopp as an attorney. He had some Wisconsin ties as well. None of them have been prevented from being on the ballot. Now, I understand the argument, and I don't disagree with it. But unless you've got a conviction, I don't see it successfully working. And I need plans we can execute. The only plan we can execute, beat them at the ballot box. You can't keep them off the ballot, to my opinion, Andrew, but I'm just one dude.
844-967-2789. Pardon me. Let's keep going on the phones. Brian from Madison, you're next. Welcome, Brian. What do you got for us?
Hey, Brian.
Hey, guys. I'm glad you did the story on the guy that went shirtless into the Capitol. I was starting to worry that it might be, you know, since you've canceled CJ for the month, that he might have had a breakdown. And, well, that was his outlet, was trying to bust into the Capitol.
It is my impression that CJ is mostly a harmless troll. But, you know, his presence not required for the month of October here.
Yeah, I get it. I do miss hearing his calls just for the reason that it's fun to hear.
Oh, don't give him, don't invoke him, Brian. It's not going to work like that. We're not bringing the guy on.
Well, it's fun to hear the rubes of Trump and, you know, see what their thought process is and hear them quote things from the right media that, everyone knows is false and has been disproved. So,
but Brian, I'm not clear that they always know it's false and disproved. I mean, we've got a conservative coming up, so stick around, make sure you listen. But I was listening to Right Wing Talk Radio today, and what we say, if you could basically flip the coin and do a 180 on what we present as fact regarding the fair election here in the state of Wisconsin. You know, supporting it with recounts and legislative audits and Wisconsin Institute and Law and Liberty audits and the declaration by the former Trump administration, safest election in the history, right? But go tell that to Vicky McKenna because she is taking the exact opposite tact. She had butt crack Kapinga on today, Senator Chris Kapinga. He's anti butt crack, so I've so labeled him, but had him on today. And they are touting the exact opposite and saying, only we tell you the truth. Of course there was irregularities in the vote in Wisconsin. Of course it was rigged. And I'm thinking, oh my God, up is down, black is white. How would you know if that's your only source of information? If you're listening to Vicky, if you're listening to a guy like Dan O'Donnell, who literally gave testimony at the Assembly Elections Committee report, invited testimony to go and cast aspersions and create these false premises where maybe a dozen votes across the state could be affected. That didn't change the outcome of any elections. But just creating, sowing that insecurity with the voters is enough justification to do away with absentee ballots, forced voter IDs, and other damn things here in the state of Wisconsin. So I would love to think a well-informed electorate, we're all going to do the right thing. But I'm not so sure that everyone is so damn well-informed. You know, some listen to Vicky and Dan.
844-967-2789. You're listening to the Devil's Advocates. Let's hear from some of our conservative friends. Lou from Cudahy. Welcome, Lou. What do you got for us today?
Hey, Lou.
What's that guy's name from Minocqua Brewing?
Kirk Bangstad.
Yeah, he got put out of business by the county board up there, didn't he?
I heard that. I think he's still open, but I'm not
really
not fast friends with the man. I worry about my own radio empire here, Lou. What do you got for us, man? I'm not going to defend Kirk today.
Well, I wanted to bring it up because he's the kind of guy who likes to throw his political weight around and then obey ordinances that he doesn't have to obey the law. After all, he's above me. He's a leftist.
I don't disagree with your assessment. I did watch his live-streamed hearing, and there was some evidence presented that he flouted local ordinance. I agree with you in that regard, Lou. So there's honesty, man. Here's the difference. Donald Trump, do you see any guilt there? I mean, we've just seen evidence of guilt presented. The guy has already been found guilty of fraud. Can you give me a little intellectual intelligence and honesty and say, boy, that's a problem?
Hey, part of the problem is you as propagandists and not entertainers are supposed to keep Donald Trump in front of the public's eye at all times. This way you have...
Really, Lou? I don't know what the hell you're talking about. Don't insult me as being a propagandist, number one, Lou. And number two, he's leading your party, man. All right? The guy's indicted, first president ever. We can go down the list, Lou. The guy's news, and people like you continue to support him. And I got to know, Lou, when the guy says, and John Kelly comes out, and all you military folks are suckers and losers. I don't want to be around the dirty amputees, Lou. You cool with that, man?
Yeah, are you cool with this?
Are you cool with it, Lou? Come on, man. Answer the question. We listened to you. We talked about Bankston. Answer the question, Lou. Answer the question. I'm going to give you an opportunity to take a breath. I'm not letting you off the hook. You're going to come back. You're going to answer the question. Are you going to join CJ? Are you fine with Donald Trump ripping on the military like that, Lou?
Hey, what do you think about HSS?
Where's
come on, Lou?
Here's what I would say. At least we are honest. I call a spade as often as I can. I call a spade, and I don't fail to see the fault in my team if my team is deserved of fault. But I would strongly compare the faults on our team with the faults on that team. I mean, the guy's got 7 trials between now and Election Day. 4 of them are for criminal charges, 91 indictments. And you're worried about a guy flouting local ordinances? Oh, he's a big shot. Well, you know what? He's not the president of the United States. He's just another little businessman being stepped on by the man, the local authorities. But Lou, what's your guys' excuse? I mean, he tried to overturn the election. He tried to get his own vice president hung. He hates the military. They're suckers and losers. I served this country, Lou. I don't know about you, but I take a little offense from Corporal Bonespurs. And I didn't think any of his kids served either. But I think at least one of the Biden boys did. Might not have been Hunter, but, you know, one of them did. It was Bo. Come back with us. Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Try staying on point. If we ask you a question and you answer it and we answer it, you know, then we'll go back and forth. That's called dialogue.
Give and take. It's like a conversation almost. Talk about propagandists, Lou.
844-967-2789.
Here's to trekking through a kaleidoscope of fall color in Wisconsin. To being like, who's up for whitewater rafting? And turning stories into souvenirs. Here's to rich traditions made new again with good company. And seasonal flavors that taste even better when shared with friends. Here's to those who Wisconsin. Plan your fall getaway at travelwisconsin.com. Sponsored by Travel Wisconsin.
Protect your family from radon. Radon causes lung cancer, and half the homes in Green Bay test high. Request a free test kit at newradon.com. That's newradon.com. Earl Ingram.
It's Wednesdays. That means Dr. Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action, is on the line and in full effect.
I think that the caller is right to be very suspicious. So we need to kind of hold both thoughts at once. Let's see if there's something there about Robin Voss being afraid and backing down, but let's be prepared for the idea this is all a ruse.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
Here's your updated forecast. Lows dip down to about 47 tonight under mainly clear skies. West winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Scattered thunderstorms likely tomorrow. Highs around 56. Cloudy. Cloudy again tomorrow night. Chance for scattered rain showers. Lows around 41. Temperatures below average Saturday and Sunday with highs in the low 50s. Once again, lows level off around 47 tonight. We should top out at 56 tomorrow. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 63.
From the home of the frozen tundra, Green Bay's choice for news talk, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
The Devil's Advocates know how to kick ass and chew bubblegum, and we're all out of bubblegum.
And we're back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show, our last segment of the day. If you got something to say, hit us up on the phones right now at 844-967-2789 and stick around. Maggie Dawn, the Maggie Dawn show coming up next.
Just don't call Dominic a butt crack exposing propagandist.
Oh my God. Are you kidding me, man? Propagandist? I mean,
callers, be patient while Dom's brain processes.
I lose my temper sometimes because that is pretty offensive. I got the bat phone of the Biden administration to land on all the liberal facts. Lou, come on, man. I read the same headlines you do. You know what I'm saying? You're a little bit older than me. Maybe got more miles than you, man. But I got a BS meter, and your guy's full of it. And I'm starting to think you are too.
844-967-2789. Dom, the case in New York, the fraud case, just a little update. Judge issues sweeping order preventing Trump from moving assets without first reporting it. I would not want him to go to a cash machine without calling the judge. Right. New York Supreme Court Justice Arthur Engoron this week ordered that Donald Trump and his business associates must report any movement of assets or creation of new business entities. No LLCs for you. In a ruling issued Thursday, Engoron said that Trump, Eric Trump, Alan Weisselberg, and Jeffrey McConney must report to an independent monitor, Barbara Jones. Engoron noted that his September summary judgment against Trump ordered that any certificates filed under and by virtue of GB subsection 130, blah, 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 any of the entity defendants or by any entity controlled or beneficially owned by Donald Trump, Donald Trump Jr., Eric Trump, Alan Weisselberg, and Jeffrey McConney are canceled. Just canceling all their business certificates. For a moment there, I was worried that Don Jr. had been left out.
Cancel culture.
The judge said the potential receivers must be named by October 26. This is going to move rapidly. Yeah. Engoron gave the defendants 7 days to provide Jones with a list of all entity defendants and any other entities controlled or beneficially owned by Donald J. Trump, Don Jr., Eric Weisselberg, or Jeffrey McConney that have existing certificates. So we're gonna find out how many shell corporations does this guy own. Well,
if I would just say, number one, what are the chances that Trump and his team actually turn everything required over? And number two, if there's existing certificates, wouldn't the state already know what they are because they have certificates?
Depends how well you've obscured them from the state of New York in this case. 844-967-2789. Bill from Oconomowoc. How you doing, Bill?
Hey, Bill. Oh, just great. Keep it up, guys. Say, as far as propagandists, have him call Dan O'Donnell and watch the screening he has to go through so Dan O'Donnell can only get the right person to say the right thing. Dan O'Donnell knows me personally. He's terrified of me. He won't let me on. He'll let me on every 6 months, and then he's got his finger on the kill button. He will talk over me. He is scared. By the way, Lou, we believe in the Constitution and accountability. I want to know what you believe. Thank you.
Whatever the cult leader tells him, Bill, whatever the cult leader Trump tells him. Apparently, I'm not so deluded by Joe Biden's grandeur. You know, the fact that I can see him with clear sight, he's a fallible man, not perfect. He's got a ne'er-do-well son. At least it's only one. Compare that with the Trump. Two of his sons just ruled it, defrauded the state of New York in multiple ways, up to $250 million in damages. Pressing. But let's talk about it. Hunter, he took $5
million a year. And the son-in-law got $2 billion from the Saudis, although he's never run a fund, an investment fund.
My understanding, yeah. At least Hunter spread it around the family. Do you think Don Jr. ever spread it around to anyone other than a Coke dealer?
844-967-2789. Running out of time. Let's get to it. Jake from Eureka. Welcome, Jake. Happy days. What do you got for us?
Hey, Jake.
Yeah, both of the dumb Trump sons admitted that the Trumps get most of their money from Russian sources and don't need money from, you know, stateside banks.
They love us in Russia. Well,
don't believe the words coming out of their own mouths, Jake. Let's hear how Trump spins it, and then guys like Lou and CJ can, you know, continue to spin it their way.
Well, it's hilarious to watch Donald Trump admit his guilt on a daily basis and just compound his guilt by committing new crimes, like this breaking ABC story you guys referenced earlier. I mean, now I know why the Trump people are trying to postpone the Mar-a-Lago case until after the election, because he's given up secrets, nuclear secrets, to, you know, Australian billionaires for free, and not even Rupert Murdoch, a different Australian billionaire. And this guy told dozens of people, and all these secrets about our nuclear navy is now public knowledge, apparently, for free, thanks to Donald Trump. What a traitor.
What a traitor.
You act like you've got a problem with that, Jake. Like, all presidents don't betray their nation to any rich guy at the buffet line.
Well, could you imagine if a Democratic president, like, oh, say, Barack Obama, had given up our nuclear secrets?
He did worse. Yeah, he wore a tan suit.
Yeah.
Yes. And he was black, Jake. Yeah, he had the nerve to be black.
Well, I guess if you're a neo-Nazi like Donald Trump, you can get away with whatever you want as far as the right-wingers are concerned.
Oh, yeah, man. Neo-Nazi's going to neo-Nazi, man. That's what the neo-Nazis are all about. Thanks for the call, Jake.
Jake, some might find this headline disturbing. I do not. We've lost everything, every dime. Mike Lindell explains why he can't pay his legal fees.
Yeah.
This
we spent all that money on, you know, stopping the steal and finding the fraud.
MyPillow CEO Mike Lindell revealed on Thursday that he had lost everything after several of his lawyers quit over legal debts. Same problem Rudy's got. In a court filing Thursday, law firm Parker Daniels Kilbert and Lindell owed millions of dollars. The firm represented him in three defamation cases related to Lindell's crusade against voting machines. Lindell reacted to the news during a brief interview with NBC. "We lost everything, every dime, all of it's gone." He insisted that he would keep paying his attorneys if he could, and he wasn't sure if he would represent himself in the future.
"Oh, yes, please do.
This just happened today," he told NBC. So, Mike Lindell, destitute, broke.
Rudy Giuliani, the Kraken lady, the other Sidney Powell lady.
And don't forget Cheesebro. They're going to trial on October 23rd. Before Trump is in receivership, Cheesebro and the Kraken are going to trial in Georgia.
And that should be televised, to my understanding.
Oh, perhaps even radio-vised.
I wonder if they're going to, you know, flip on Trump, have something interesting to offer. Fonnie Willis down in Fulton County.
Folks, we are the Devil's Advocates. Out of time for today. We'll do it on Friday when we air the grievances. Stick around. Our favorite Maggie Dawn is next. And then, Raised in the Wisco with Joel. You'll want to stick around. Keep it locked right here. No baseball, though. Sorry about that.
I blame Crudy.
It's my fault.
It's the most competitive sport for all to enjoy, and Milwaukee is even the capital for it. It's bowling, and the oldest bowling alley is in Wisconsin. Holler House is home to the two oldest sanctioned lanes in the U.S. and are still made of the wood installed in 1908. The building on West Lincoln in Milwaukee looks the same. Musicians Joe Walsh and Jack White have thrown a ball down those 115-year-old lanes. Now, can you guess the tradition that continues here to this day? A hot beef sandwich, just 25 cents. The pins still set by people? Swear, and you're tossed out. The answer coming up. The fifth and sixth generations run Holler House, so some odd history does remain, like bras hanging from the rafters. The alleys have even been featured in the Wall Street Journal and Sports Illustrated. So what's your guess about the continuing tradition? It's the pins still being set by people. No machines here. These stories make it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay. WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay. And always streaming on the Civic ABC Media app.